What do we believe? On Tuesday night or on Wednesday morning of last week? Psalm 20 in verse 7 kept coming to my mind. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. That's what I believe. I believe it because of the Word of God. And how could I come to such a conclusion and to base my life and my direction upon a sovereign, providential God who revealed himself to his great King David almost 3,000 years ago? What comfort could I derive from a passage which had been written some 3,000 years ago? And yet that's exactly where I find my comfort today. And that's exactly where I find my sense of encouragement and strength is from the word of the Lord. Psalm 20. I want us to walk through these verses together because here David is relaying the prayer of the people for himself. This psalm is an interesting psalm because it is considered one of the royal psalms of the Old Testament. And Psalm 20, which was really a prelude to the king going into battle. Psalm 21 represents that postscript once he has entered into battle. And Psalm 22 represented that preparation time for the king to prepare his heart and the people to prepare before they entered into battle. And as I looked at these verses and I've looked at these chapters, I've considered the subject of God save the king. God save the king. What was chanted not only in England, but has been chanted throughout the centuries, Lord, help our king. Lord, save him. God save our king. That's a prayer of belief and confession, an acknowledgement that unless you, Lord, move in the heart of our king, what will become of him? And thus, what will become of us? The well-being of the king also represented the well-being of the people. And so when David relays this prayer here, beginning in verse 1, he says, the Lord, hear thee. He is rehearsing or relaying the prayer of the people. They've come to the sanctuary. They've come to the place of worship. They're preparing their hearts for battle. The king is, he is prepping himself. And in the midst of this, the people have begun to pray for him, as we are told in the New Testament, to pray for our leaders. In 1 Timothy and 1 Peter, and there are admonitions that those who are in positions of authority are ministers, the Bible tells us, according to Romans 13. You say, well, that's no minister that I chose for myself, but they are the ministers of the Lord. Whatever you chose last Tuesday, whatever you chose, whatever you have chosen in years gone by, President Bush is our president. Barack Obama will be our president in the new year. And we need to pray for him. Because the weight of an entire nation, literally of our world, is on their shoulders in many, many ways. A historic moment we all witnessed. Whether we agreed with certain issues related to the campaign, that's not the point today. You heard that sermon last week, right? I walked through Health South and through a few facilities last week as I was visiting some of our folks. And as I was just out in the community, I noticed the countenance of many African-American people that I walked by. And I thought I'd put myself to a test. I thought, well, is it just me or are they really excited? As an African-American and being certainly the first African-American to be elected to this high office, it represents a historic moment. And naturally, they would be excited. And so what I thought I would do is I would walk by and every African-American that I saw, I would make sure that I made eye contact with them and I would greet them and I would say, how are you doing? And if they didn't want to greet me, I would sort of force the issue. But I didn't have to. That's what I was going to do. I didn't have to. It seemed like every person that I walked by that was African American, they looked at me and they were smiling. It was a new day for them. I asked the lady who was the receptionist, "How do you feel?" And she said, "I'm ecstatic." She said, "My little granddaughter attends Cathedral in the Pines." And she said, Grandma, I just believe I can do anything now. I just believe I can do anything now." For her, it represented a step of hope. For her, it represented an opportunity, something that had never been seen before, certainly in our country. And how could such a thing like that happen in our country? I believe it's because ultimately we as Christians, we have a higher belief. We have a greater understanding that when God is in control, that all things really are possible. And it does represent a new day for many people in our society, and we have to rejoice in that regard. But folks, we need to pray, "God save the king." And David relays this prayer for him on behalf of the people. You see, the people believed that God heard their prayer for their leader, and thus they prayed for those in leadership. If you had some issue regarding what happened last week, let me ask you, did you pray about it? Because if you prayed about it, God heard your prayer. And whether the outcome was like you wanted, God still heard your prayer. He has not abandoned you as a child of God. He would never abandon us as a child of God. They believed that God heard their prayer. David believed that. The Lord, hear thee in the day of your trouble. The name of the God of Jacob, defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all your offerings, except thy burnt offerings, thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. You see, God was listening to the people as they gathered in prayer. And they gathered and they spoke this word over their king, and he reiterated it and relayed that so all of us could hear that God would acknowledge. They prayed, "Oh God, when our king comes before you, please acknowledge his prayer." That's what they were saying. "Lord, when he comes, hear him, Lord. When he is in the quietness of the moment, when he's all by himself, when he is in the state of trouble, when there is adversity around him, when the circumstances are beyond imagination, oh God, hear the prayer of our king. Hear the prayer of our king." God acknowledge his prayer. God accompany him when he steps into battle, according to verse 2. "Send him help from the sanctuary. Strengthen him out of Zion." Lord, when he steps out into the battlefield, God be with him. Accompany him, because if he steps out there and he does not step out there with the affirmation, the providential care of God, he will fall on his face. That's what they were saying. God help him. God save our king. If he initiates a battle as our commander-in-chief, when David steps out there, Lord, God be with him. Because his well-being will affect our well-being. God accompany our king David into battle. God accept his offering. In verse 3, remember all of his offerings and accept his burnt sacrifice. It was not uncommon before the king went into battle to bring sacrifice and to call for a moment of worship and a moment of acknowledgement of the Creator God. It's not uncommon for that to occur at all. In fact, many great kings and most strategists understood that if you go into battle, that's something you needed to do. If not spiritually, certainly superstitiously, they believed that they needed to go ahead. And somehow, if they did not believe in the one true God, they certainly understood that there was something at work beyond their capabilities. And they would bring their sacrifices and their offerings, and they would offer them up to whatever God and simply say, "We need your help. I need your help." And that's what they were praying for. God help David to understand. God help our king. Accept his offering, Lord, when he enters into the sanctuary and he begins to offer up his sacrifices to you. Lord, I pray that they are acceptable sacrifices and that they are acceptable to you. They're not saying, "God, take anything that the king brings you and make it acceptable." That's not what they're saying. They're saying, "Accept it," but God is no respecter of persons. So whether it be David or whether it be President Bush or whether it be Barack Obama, whoever it may be, whatever they're offering, Lord, I pray that it will be acceptable to you. Do you understand how important it is for the leaders of our country to do what's right in the sight of God? They prayed for their leaders. Who is it above you and an authority in your life? Do you pray for them? Listen, don't you think I recognize as a pastor and as a leader, I recognize the great prayer support that comes through our prayer warriors, whether it be on Monday morning or Wednesday night or whenever you might pray. Listen, I understand where I'm coming from. I understand where God's brought me from. I understand what God did in my life when he brought me from Killeen, Texas to this place. I understand the grace of God, but there are times in our lives when we can forget what God has done. And we need to be reminded. And we need to be humble. And we need to be grateful. I think of you who pray for me and those of you who pray for others who are in authority and for our government. And listen, you make a difference. You make a difference. You make a difference because you stand in the gap and you say to the Lord, God, make his sacrifices. May they be acceptable unto you. Accept his worship. The prayer was relayed. They believed that God heard their prayer. That's why they prayed. If you don't pray, it's because you don't believe that God answers prayer. And I'm not talking about your worrying times. I'm talking about your praying times. I'm talking about the times in which you stand before the Lord and you say, oh, God, help our president. Oh, God, help our mayor. Oh, God, help our pastor. Oh, God, help whoever it may be, Lord, who's in a position to affect the rest of us and our well-being. God, help them. God, save King David. God, accept this offering. You see, this royal psalm, this prophetic psalm in many ways speaks not only to the reality that David needed in his life. He needed God's anointing on his life. But it also spoke prophetically of what Jesus would accomplish when Jesus himself, our great warrior, Jesus Christ, before Jesus ever achieved victory on the third day, he offered sacrifice to the Lord God Almighty on that Friday on Golgotha. And every battle is preceded with sacrifice. Jesus, our great high priest, offered himself as a sacrifice before the Father to be made acceptable to the Father, to appease the wrath of Almighty God. And he did it on our behalf. There's first sacrifice and then there's victory. And every king understands this if they want the blessing of God upon their life. And Jesus prophetically accomplished all of this for us when he gave his life in death. And then on the third day, he rose again. That's where our victory is today. And so David relays this prayer, the prayer of the people that believed that God would hear their prayer concerning their leader. But notice something else with me. They believed that God was their ultimate deliverer. Whatever may be said of the king, they believed that ultimately their destiny was in the hands of providence, was in the hands of God Almighty. In verse 5, we will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saves his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. You see, the people believed ultimately that God was their deliverer. And so they said that they would set up their banners. They believed that God would bring the victory, that whatever David might do, and as extremely important as it was, that they believed that ultimately their destiny was in the hands of their sovereign, God. And we as a country certainly need to understand that. That the destiny of our country, that the destiny of our land is ultimately in the hands of the Lord. And regardless of what takes place, our faith is in the Lord. Amen? That's where our faith is. The greatest of presidents in our country have had failures. The greatest of presidents in our country have made mistakes. The greatest of men, the greatest of leaders, the greatest of people in our lives that we've seen, and they have led, the greatest of these, they have made mistakes in their lives. But God is unchanging. He's always the same. He is sinless and perfect in every way. This is our God. And they believed ultimately that their God was their, he was their ultimate deliverer. And that's why they said, we will rejoice in thy salvation. As though they're saying, we are so certain of the outcome. And David was. In fact, the tense of the verb, when he says that God saves his anointed, he says, now I know that God is going to save his anointed. That's literally what it means. I am so certain today because of the prayer of the people, because of the voice of the Lord and the word of God, that I am so certain that God is going to deliver us that I'm going to speak of it as a present reality before I ever enter into battle. And the people rejoiced. And they said, we will rejoice. There was accompanying joy with them as they knew that they stood before their ultimate deliverer, the Lord God Almighty. Very important that we see that, because over and over and over, the psalmist, as well as other writers in the Old Testament, speak of the Lord. I love that reference to God. He is my Lord. He is our Lord. He is the covenant-making God of Israel. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God that when he shows up and he says he's going to do something, he does it every single time. There's never a moment in which God says that he says he's going to do something, and then a little bit later on, he changes his mind. You know, he says, well, I'm not going to do that. I told you I was, but I've changed my mind. Never. God, he always fulfills his promise to his people. Always. And they knew that. And ultimately, they said they would raise up their banners. That's an interesting, we will rejoice in the salvation that the Lord brings to us. Yes, there's going to be accompanying joy, but we're going to set up our banners. They anticipated the victory. They anticipated the victory that would come to their lives. Ultimately, they knew that the Lord was their chief standard bearer. And that they would boast in their general's name. And when they would go into battle, certainly it was not just common to Israel, but in any army, they would wave their banners and they would bring forth their banners and the patrol which carried these banners. And those banners signified several things. They signified the name of their general, the nature of their army. The banners themselves served to give a distinction to their army and direction to the forces on the field. And so when they set up their banner, they were declaring in advance, we are going to win. And that's what they're saying. We know we're going to go ahead and set up our banners right now to our chief standard bearer, the Lord, our ultimate deliverer. We're going to set them up now because there's going to be victory. Regardless, there's going to be victory. That's what they were declaring. And so we will set up our banners and we will boast in the name of our Lord God. Oh, they had great deal they were proud of their King David, but listen, it didn't compare to their belief in the Lord. They were proud of what David could accomplish and what he had accomplished, but ultimately they knew that their sovereign was in control. And that's the confession here. We're going to set up these banners, and these banners represent our belief in the one true God, that our king is going to be victorious. We're going to follow him into battle. When he says march, we're going to march. When he says halt, we're going to halt. And then something else it says here that as they believed that God was their ultimate deliverer, notice what the Bible says there in verse 7, the passage of scripture that really God drew my heart to this past week is a sense of comfort and strength. This great verse and a great hymn that I'll share with you in just a moment that God drew my heart to. Because he says in verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They said, we're going to rejoice. Yes, we're going to set up the banners indeed, but we're going to remember. We're going to acknowledge where our strength comes from. And we're going to remember the name of the Lord our God. While some are trusting in chariots, the chariots were the dreaded war machine of that time. The Assyrians and the Persians and the Babylonians used the chariots so skillfully. These chariots were machines, attached to blades were attached to the wheels themselves, and they were marched into battle, sometimes with 2 and 4 and 6 horses. These chariots were pulled into battle to be just like almost like a modern day machine gun, to destroy the enemy, to run them through the troops so that it might create a gap so that the horses might run through, and the men who were on those horses could wage greater warfare. They were the dreaded war machine of the day. And David is saying, and the people are saying, we are not going to trust in the most dreaded war machine of our day. We're going to trust in the name of the Lord our God. I think we, the United States of America, need to be reminded that no matter how great we are militarily, the moment that we think that our nuclear bombs, the moment we think that our armies and our warfare and all those things will secure our future without acknowledging the Lord God Almighty, is the moment we've made a huge mistake. To acknowledge God as someone secondary in warfare, we have dreaded war machines today. They had them back then. The Israelites learned to use these dreaded war machines. They learned, and pretty soon they became dependent upon them. And they acknowledged these foreign relationships so that soon they began to take their eyes off the Lord. And whether it be with the Assyrians or the Persians, they began to negotiate treaties and all kinds of agreements without acknowledging God. They began to acknowledge that maybe it would be good for us to have some of those chariots. And David had his share of chariots, and Solomon had his share of chariots. And they had their mighty fine. They had their mighty fine animals and horses that they raised for a moment in time to fight in battle. They had the most skillful men that you could ever imagine. But they're confessing here that in the face of the most dreaded war machine of our day, in the face of all of these mobile and hostile horses with men on them who are waging war like we have never seen, we are going to remember the name of the Lord our God. We're going to do that. Our trust is going to be ultimately in the Lord. That's what we Christians can bring to the table. That's why a Christian nation, a nation whose leaders are willing to say, oh God, the one true and living God, not God among many gods, not God, not this God or that, but the one true Jehovah God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who has ruled the universe from eternity to eternity, that God, that's the God we need our president to pray to, okay? That's the God we need our elected officials to pray to. That's the God that sets people genuinely free. That's the God that gives freedom and liberty in a country like ours. While we have our many faults and we can struggle with those issues, the truth is that without liberty that comes by knowing Jesus Christ, there is no freedom. It is all a mask. It is all a charade to think that we are free apart from the one true God. But when we believe in the one true God, when we believe as they believed in the one true God, they said, we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now, notice several times that David talks about the name of the Lord here. Several times he talks about this. And so when he says, we're going to remember the name of the Lord our God, what he's saying is that we are going to, when we face the fear and what looks to be the failure of going into battle against these dreaded war machines, we're going to look at them and we're going to remember the name of the Lord our God. When fear begins to overcome us, we're going to remember and take in, literally it means to take in the magnitude of the name of the Lord our God. Well, what is it about his name? Is it like remembering your name or my name? No, this is the name of the Lord whose character is consistent, whose word is true. And so what he's saying is that we're going to take in the full magnitude of the character and the consistency of our God whose word is true. That's what he's saying. He's saying that we're going to consider that when we're facing failure and fear. We're going to consider that. And we're going to take in the full magnitude of his name. Notice back in verse 1, because he says, the name of the Lord God of Jacob. The name of the Lord God of Jacob. And so there are three things I want you to see here. We need to recognize the name of God as our defender. And when they prayed, they said, oh God, help our king. Defend him. Isn't that what he says there? Defend him. King David, God, defend him. Set him up in a high place. Literally, that's what it means. Set him up in a high place. Give him a vantage in the military encounter that he's about to experience. God set him up in a strong tower, like Proverbs talks about in chapter 18 and verse 10, when it says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. What does that mean? In military terms, it means that God was going to take his people and he was going to establish them, that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, that when you can elevate a person and put them into that place, they're protected, they're defended. A strong tower was a place of defense. And so he's saying simply here, recognize the name of God as your ultimate defender, but also raise up the name of God with those banners, so that when you march into battle, that you will raise up not the name of a man, but the name of our sovereign, our king. Raise up the name of the Lord. Raise up the name of the Lord. And then he says, remember the name of the Lord. Remember the name of the Lord. Don't forget it. We might be all out of sorts because what's happened. And we might be feeling a little uneasy about what's going to take place. But let me tell you this. With God, we don't have to be uneasy. With the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who's marching out into the battle in front of us, we don't have to worry. One day, we're going to step into eternity, and we're going to step into eternity with full assurance and confidence that the Lord God that we trusted in is the one who is securing our future. God save the king, yes. God help our leaders, indeed. God accompany them in their time of prayer and in their time of warring. But God, we worship you as our ultimate deliverer. Remember the name of God as Lord. And David says in verse 6, now I know. It was like this epiphany had occurred in his life. It's like David is there in the midst of the sanctuary and he's praying. It's like this holy moment occurs in his life when he comes to recognize that the cumulative prayer effort of the people has affected his life. Listen, people of God, our prayers will make a difference. If you don't believe that, you will subscribe to fatalism. And if there's ever a group that contradict fatalism, it's Christianity. We believe in hope. We don't believe in just wishful thinking. We believe our hope is in Christ Jesus, who is our living hope, that in Christ we have our hope. And so if we give up that reality, we give up that truth, if we compromise that area of our life, listen, we won't pray about it. We'll just simply say, well, listen, that's what's just going to happen. It's just going to happen that way. Prayer changes things. I know it's been mentioned that our prayer warriors meet on Monday morning, but you know we have prayer warriors that meet on Wednesday night as well at 6 o'clock in Heritage Hall. Stop sitting around watching television, wondering about what's going to happen in the future. Get off MSNBC and Fox News and CNN and all those other channels and start coming to the Lord and asking God to do something. You're worrying about what's going to happen in the future, worrying about what's going to take place. Are we concerned? Should we be concerned? Yes. If you did not vote, I don't want to talk to you. Don't even talk to me. If you didn't vote, you just think I'm riled up right now. But when I went to vote, early voted, well, I made my selections and my choices based upon my Christian convictions and what I thought was in the best interest of our country, based upon the parameters set by me, by the Word of God, based upon those standards. Ultimately, at the end of that time, I realized, oh, God, this is in your hands. This is in your hands, and I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to remember you, Lord. I'm going to remember you. I'm going to take in the magnitude. Last Wednesday morning, I was sitting in my office, and this verse kept coming to my mind over and over and over, and I just figured that's what I was supposed to preach on. Some trust in chariots, and some trust in horses, but we, as opposed to them, we who know the Lord as opposed to those who don't know the Lord. But we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. We will take in who the Lord is so that it begins to push out all of those thoughts about what the fear, all those thoughts about what might could happen, so that the name of the Lord is so big that it will fill my heart and my mind. I'm going to take that in. And I just need a little bit more time to do it. And then this great hymn came to mind. It's the great hymn, Be Thou My Vision. And it says this, Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me except what Thou art. In other words, I just need you to be, Lord. I just want to get a good vision of you, Lord. I just want to see you for who you are in the midst of everything else. And I only want you to be Lord. I don't want you to be anything more or less. I just want you to be my God. Lord, that's the vision I want of you, the writer states. Thou my best thought by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom and thou my true word. I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Riches I need not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance now and always. Thou and thou only first in my heart, high King of heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of heaven, my victory won, may I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Lord, whatever may happen, help me, Lord, to see you. Whatever may occur, Lord God, still help me to see you. Be thou my vision. Verse 9, save, Lord. Let the king hear us when we call. Save him. Save us. Hear his prayers. They believed that God could turn the heart of their king. In moments of doubt and uncertainty that you may have in the months, the years to come, believe that God can still hold the heart of the king in his hand. God save the king. In the months and the years to come, when you're unsure about our country and where we stand, believe that God will hear your prayer as you lift up your leaders. In the months and years to come, when decisions are made that absolutely go against what we believe, know this and believe this, that God is our ultimate deliverer and he will set us free. And let me say this in closing. This thought keeps going through my mind all week. God save the king. And then this other thought. Get off your high horse. So how does that connect? Get off your high horse. Stop trusting in your own abilities. You might have the most agile thoroughbred that an army could provide you. You might be equipped and you might have all that you think you need for the battle. But you better get off your high horse and remember the name of the Lord your God. Let's pray. Father, we desperately need you more than we even acknowledge this morning and more than we even understand. But Lord, our prayer to you this morning is that you would move in the hearts of our leaders. You know, God, what you have purposed for your people. You know what you have purposed even for this country. We pray. We pray, Father, that you will grant wisdom, that, Lord, in their effort to approach you, that they would, Lord God, you would surround our president-elect with, Lord, with wisdom from sources, Lord, that we can't even imagine today. But, Lord, we know ultimately are from your heart. God, give them wisdom. Leaders, cabinet members, Lord, officials around him that will, God, be able to speak truth. Lord God, leaders that will trust in you, that will not trust, Lord God, in the might of our military exclusively, that we would trust in you. Not that we would compromise, but Lord, that we would understand where strength comes from. Lord God, that we would not trust in our own human ingenuity and abilities to figure things out. We pray, God, that you would just give that kind of wisdom to our leaders. We pray, Father, for each of us here today, God, that we would just step into the circle of humility and recognize that we are nothing apart from you. We are powerless apart from you. That we desperately need you, Lord. That there is no act on our part that could win the battle for us. That only through Jesus Christ, who waged warfare on our behalf, who went to the cross on our behalf, can we be saved. We thank you, Jesus, this morning, that you have gone to the cross, that you have paid the price, and that you have made the ultimate sacrifice, and in doing so, in offering up yourself to our Father, that you purchased for us our redemption. And then you stepped into the battle, Lord, and you declared freedom for those who were held captive. And on the third day, you rose again. There's victory in you. We are following our victory into the battle. Lord God, thank you that you have blazoned a trail for us, that you have saved us, that you have provided salvation opportunity for each one of us today. Lord, for those who need to know that and they need to embrace Jesus as their Savior, as their ultimate deliverer, Lord God, deliverer, that they would see you today. And that they would raise up their banner and declare that the victory has been won. Lord God, set them free. God, people that need to be saved today. People that need to be, Lord, that need to recognize their great need for you. May they realize that by your grace through faith today in Jesus Christ.